Hello, everyone out there. I am PRCBZ, better known as Brent, and you are about to listen to an episode of Podcast Rock City, the live edition. These shows were originally broadcast on KGF Rocks live on Wednesday nights from March of 2018 until February of 2020. Please note that all the music played on these shows was legally licensed by KGF Rocks for streaming, but it cannot be included here for obvious reasons. While the music has been removed, you will still hear me introduce songs and run down what we just played, so if we discuss anything that sounds interesting to you or I list something you would like to find, you will have the name of the song, the artist, and the album it came from, so you can track it down for legal purchase. And with that, please enjoy the show, which you will hear in 3, 2, 1, peace.
Hello. The show we are about to see is a rousing docudrama. It will be disgusting to some, titillating to others, but whether it disgusts you or titillates you, it is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Hello, everyone out there. We are Podcast Rock City, the live edition here on KGF Rocks. I am PRCBZ, better known as Brent, and I'm joined tonight by my co-hosts, Podcast Rock City's official show archivist, Adam Davis, and our newly anointed regular co-host, Brad Rustoven. How are you guys doing?
Good. What's going on, everybody?
Cool. Everything good, Adam?
Yeah, all good here, man. Awesome. Excited to be back on the show.
Cool. Well, glad to have you. And joining us tonight, all the way from the frozen tundra of Buffalo, New York. I made that up. I don't know what the weather there is actually like. Mr. Jim Crean. Hello, Jim. And as Paul Stanley's fond of saying, welcome back to the show.
Well, thanks for having me again, guys. It's good to hear from you guys again. We had a lot of fun last time.
Yeah, we sure did. We talked to all kinds of stuff. You guys, if you missed out on that one, you got to check it out. We talked Vinnie Vincent. We talked, we talked some of Jim's older solo material. We talked about his work with Apathy Appeased Brothers. All kinds of cool stuff on that episode. And that is available as a podcast download now, so you can go check that out. And you know, the kind of the most exciting piece of what we talked about last time was the announcement of you as an inductee to the Buffalo, New York Music Hall of Fame. And so tell us, take a minute and just tell us a little bit about that. How was that ceremony and that award?
Man, it was what it's supposed to be like, you know. I mean, after all these years of doing, you know, playing music and touring and, you know, making records and, you know, everything that comes with it, it's great to be recognized in your own hometown. And you know, a lot of cities don't have, you know, their own Hall of Fame type ceremonies like this. We have here in Buffalo, right?
That's
so
very cool.
It was very professional, well organized. I want to thank everybody in the Buffalo Music Hall of Fame for recognizing me. The ceremony was great. I had an all-star band that night. I had Dave Constantino from Talas.
Nice.
You know, played
with
Billy
Sheehan. That's a big Buffalo band right there.
Yeah, and Dave was the very first inductee into the Buffalo Music Hall of Fame in 1983. So it was real cool. You know, I just asked him if he wanted to play with me, and he's absolutely, you know. I had 80s Zimmer, who played with Lou Gramm for many years, and now he's in my Hair Nation band. I had Dan Kaplan from Hair Nation, and of course my fiance, who's also the drummer for Hair Nation. That was my all-star band for the night, and it was great. Again, I want to thank the staff at the whole staff at the Buffalo Music Hall of Fame, because they did a great job.
It sounds
was
like
just
they
a
did
wonderful
it right.
night
sounds like they really
yeah,
did
my
it right. you know, and what a huge, you know, honor, like you said. I mean, for a guy who's like been all over the world and played his music everywhere, but to have his hometown go, you know, to take one night out and say, we appreciate you and give you that award and that performance and that ceremony, that's got to feel great.
It did. I mean, my brother flew in from Florida to come, and he surprised me. My daughters, Lauren and Madison, were there, and it was just a wonderful night. So it's a memory I'm going to cherish. That's for sure. So,
well,
yeah,
Jim,
I was Jim. I'm sorry, Brent.
No, go ahead.
Jim, I was just watching the performance on YouTube. Well, I saw a clip on there. There was two songs. So you guys did Dream On and Sink Your Teeth Into It, right?
Yeah, we did the Dream On because, you know, with Hair Nation, that's kind of our staple song. And it was just one of those situations. We were going to do two originals. And then, you know, and then I thought about it. I'm like, you know, all my life, you know, every band I've ever been in, we always did Dream On. I thought that would be a cool tune to do. You know, it's like, it was fitting, right?
And well, it Dream sounded great. Yeah, I was gonna say you killed it.
Thanks, man. And then Sink Your Teeth is you know, Dave Constantino, he was in Talas, and Talas was a humongous inspiration for me growing up, and a big influence on me. So I figured, well, how fitting to do my two favorite bands, do songs for my two favorite bands at one of my highlights in my career, you know. Carmine a piece did a really nice he introduced me, and he did a really nice video Skype, you know, acknowledging me, and did a really nice thing. So it was just a magical night, and again, it was the way it was supposed to be. In the hall did such a great job honoring me and all the other inductees, and it's pretty cool. It's a great honor, man, that I'm recognized.
Yeah, congrats, man. That's really cool.
And Aerosmith song makes sense, because I mean, that's like the band that got you you know, singing, right?
For sure.
Yeah.
It was my very first band that I saw one of my first bands I ever saw live, besides Kiss actually was my very first band, and that's what blew my mind, and I said, okay, this is it, I'm here. Well, welcome to the world of the tough world of the hard world of rock and roll.
Then Paul Aerosmith and Gene to blame.
Yeah, well, you know, not to blame. They're wonderful, man. I mean, they inspired us, all of us, all four of us on the phone right now as young tykes to dream and to do it. And they're such an amazing story. I mean, I hate when people bash on Kiss, because, you know, everybody's been influenced by Kiss. I don't care who you are. Kiss influenced you certain way.
You can deny it all you want, but, you know.
And people slam them and put them down, but don't tell me for 1 minute that you didn't have Hotter Than Hell album and sit and stare at that album cover and go, holy shit, man, this is just, my mind's
what is happening here? Yeah. Well, yeah, or be like, you know, me and my friend whose sister's records those were, you know, we looked at the cover of the first album and we're like, okay, we just thought it was a picture of some clowns. We didn't even know that was the band. Then we look at the second album cover, look at Hotter Than Hell. We thought they were Japanese. We're like, oh, this is a Japanese band. So, you know,
yeah,
I mean,
it's so funny you said that. I was young. I was probably maybe 9 years old, 8, 9 years old. And so we're talking mid 70s there, right?
Yeah.
And I remember seeing the originals. Remember the three,
right,
the originals,
the
it was called.
Together. Yeah.
Yeah, and I looked at that. I'm like, well, that's not Kiss, because Kiss only has, at the time they had, you know, the first album, Dressed to Kill, and I don't know what the other couple albums that are in that package.
The first
three.
But
what is it, Dressed to Kill?
Yeah.
Okay, so the first three.
Yeah.
So, and I remember looking at that going, well, this must be a bootleg or something. This isn't a Kiss album. And I remember it was expensive, more expensive than the other albums, because I remember it was like at the time like $9, and the other albums were like $5.
Oh my,
right?
God, it's like worth, you know, hundreds upon hundreds today.
Totally. And I remember I said to my mom, I said, well, I don't want that album because that's not really Kiss. And so we looked at it, and then it had all the same songs from the other three albums. And I said, and she's like, well, it's all three albums in one. I said, all right, I'll get it because that's a good deal, $9, right? So I remember getting it home and it had all the cool stuff with it. I was like, this is a gem. Yeah. And then I remember all my friends in the neighborhood would always want to borrow that album, and I would never let that one leave the house.
Had
the
Kiss originals.
I have it,
and all
I have
that.
It to this day. Yeah.
Oh, how great.
I have that. I have that to this day, my copy.
Well, maybe
somewhere.
Kiss putting three albums together could be partially, I'll use the word blame again, to blame for you being as insane as to put out two albums at once. So this is something that I've kind of made a joke about when I was making posts leading up to the show today, but you know, in a time when you've got every major act saying new music's dead and they'll never record again, here you are with, you know, what, three albums in the last 3 years, you've got, you know, two new records dropping at one time right now. Really exciting. What made you decide to do that?
Actually, it's four albums because we did a greatest hits album too.
Oh, right. Which had new tracks on it. I forgot about that. It had some new tracks. So, yeah, technically four records in 3 years. So you're nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah, tell me what brought this on.
Well, I mean, I signed with a really cool label, Visionary Noise Records, Michael Jackson and Steve Sussman, and these guys did a great job. What happened was when I signed with them, we had a festival that we had to play in that was booked through them in Texas. Mm-hmm. So we were just in the process of making the record, the London Fog record, and we needed product. You know, my last label was Rocker Records, a Carmine and Pieces label with Insatiable on it. And, you know, so we needed some kind of product. So I said, you know, I have four, well, at that time I had four studio albums that I said, well, let's make a greatest hits combination of best songs of all, you know. So we'll release that and just do like a small run of it. Well, as soon as we printed them up, I sold those out. So we had to do another whole batch of another run of it, really. And then we sold a bunch of them at this festival. So it's been, we did like four or five pressings of that already. So, so we did that one. Then when we were in the process of making, London Fog, I always like to put a couple covers on my albums. It's something I always thought Kiss did it for years. All these bands that I always loved, Aerosmith always did that. Kiss did that. All the bands that I really grew up loving always seemed to put one cover on or cover something. You know what I mean? So yeah. I always thought that was kind of a cool thing, but not a cover just to make it sound like the cover you're covering. Make their take on it.
It your own.
I love when bands do that.
Yeah, me too. I always did, and you know, I said Kiss did that. Kiss really never did that a lot. That was a bad example.
Two or three, but they've got a few
sometimes. Yeah, then she kissed me and things like that. But
right.
But you know, but it was just a Kiss show, so that's why I said that. Actually,
it worked. We bought it.
I guess Rod Stewart would be – he was a big influence on me too. So Rod Stewart always did covers on his records, and those usually turned out to be his best songs.
Dude,
so I thought, you know,
I mean, I've got in my CD collection, he's got like – now he's doing the songbook records. He's got six or seven albums of just covers, you know?
And listen, and it always worked for him, and I always thought how cool a concept. But if you listen to the originals compared to how he sang them, his blow him away. So – and that wasn't my intention to sound better than your covers, because you'll never sound better than the cover. You know, it's just a different take on it.
Right.
So I had a couple covers that we had recorded for London Fog. And then when I was trying to pick a couple covers to do for that record, all these covers were coming to mind. So I said to my producer, Steve Sussman, I said, executive producer, I said, hey, we should do a covers album and kind of do two albums at once. And he was like, that sounds like a great idea, because the covers were coming out really good. They were they were sounding better than my originals, you know. And
I
was like, shit,
that, but
well, they were coming out really cool. Mm-hmm. And my producer Steve Major out of Toronto is just amazing. I send him stuff and give him ideas, and he's just unbelievable. So we started doing this, and next thing you know, here we are with, I don't know, what is set? How many songs are on the covers album? 16 songs
it's
are
loaded. I mean, it is completely loaded. Yeah.
It wasn't supposed to be loaded. It was supposed to only be like 8 or 9 songs. Then I kept recording another one. Then I kept recording another
one. Stop.
I was like a junkie. It was crazy. Before you know it, I had 14 songs for the original album and then 16 for the other album. And I have like 10 more in the bank that we recorded at that time that we would have been overkill to put all these songs on these records. Really what happened.
Before we came on the air, we were kind of talking amongst ourselves about how with these covers, it's not even just that you take the song and make it your own, because, you know, you've got a distinctive way of doing that. But on top of that, you're picking tracks that are, I mean, I'm not even going to just say not run of the mill. We're talking you're really going into left field to grab some of these songs for a guy who's considered a hard rock heavy metal guy. Yes, you're covering, you know, White Lion, Scorpions, Dokken, Badlands. Okay, those are all names that I know the people who listen to this show are going, yes, 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 and yes. But then you're also covering The Fix and The Cars and Melissa Etheridge and Goo Goo Dolls. I mean, this is not Chicago. I mean, that's definitely a real different take.
Yeah, listen, with the Melissa Etheridge, I just to start off, with the London Fog, I collaborated with a guitar player from France, Steph Hond. He played with Paul Di'Anno from Iron Maiden. He's worked with Chris Holmes, and he's a phenomenal musician. Not just a guitar player; he's a great singer, great guitar player, great bass player, great keyboardist, great all over. This guy's the most rounded musician I've ever seen in my whole life. I mean, that's how great this guy is. So me and him did the whole record together, the London Fog, and then we started working on some of his covers for the covers album. And the Melissa Etheridge song was going to go on London Fog. And it came out badass. You know, we had this drummer, Eric Labelli from France, who played with Stu Hamm. And it just came out so powerful. I was like, this is a great song. Then we started doing the covers thing. And you said 25 or 624. I have this great guitar player, Art Kalenda, from my hometown of Buffalo. He's a studio guy. He did all the guitar work on it and just crushed it. And Dave Pentrello, another studio guy, played drums on it. So the three of us did that. He also played bass. So we did that song, and it came out really cool. I'm like, shit, here, we're getting all these great covers. They're starting to sound really good.
Yeah.
So, and it's funny about that song, because that song, when we were picking songs for the cover song, my producer, executive producer, Steve Sussman, said, hey, would you guys do 25 or 64 by Chicago? It was my mom's favorite song. And, you know, she had passed on, and it would mean a lot to me if you could do that song. And I was like, that's not really my wheelhouse, that song. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was like, how am I going to do this with the horns and, you know, Chicago, right? So I got it over to Art and Kalenda, and he sent me back like these really heavy riffs and goes, what do you think of that? I go, this is how we're doing it for sure. Next thing you know, it turned out the way it did, and it came out really cool.
No, it did, and it's so different. And we're going to play a couple tracks from the covers records for sure. But you've also got an album of all these great original songs, and and a real mix of stuff on there as well, just stylistically. And I want to give both Brad and Adam a chance to each, you know, ask you a question or talk about a track or whatever, because I know they've been listening to it too and really digging into it just like I have.
Awesome.
So guys, go ahead. Hello.
This is Brad.
I don't think they really wanted me to ask me any questions.
Yeah, they're afraid of you, dude.
No, they're like, should I ask him or not? You go first. No, you go first. Let's ask him any questions.
Speaking of covers, I know on the last show when you were on, I think Brent, you played Passion, which was very, very cool, obviously. And I think it was Carmen on that with you? Did he?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so I guess breaking down the songs, I mean, I guess I don't know the credits. Like who did you work with, you know, in writing, or is it all the originals? Are they all yours, or did you co-write yourself?
Okay, well, back to Passion. That was an afterthought. You know, Carmine, he played on my last album, Insatiable, as well. So I asked him to play on this album again. So he was like, absolutely, going to play on it. And we were trying to figure out what he was going to play. And I sent him a song, a couple of my originals, and he was like, well, you know, they were like more harder stuff. And Carmine goes, I like playing the groovier stuff, you know, more groove stuff. I said, I got an idea. I'm just throwing it out there. Well, why don't we redo the Rod Stewart song Passion, since you were on the original version of it. I go, but we'll make it like more of a hard rock version. He's like, that would be really fun to do and interesting. So then I called Tony Franklin, and he was, yeah, let's do it, you know, cause it's the Blue Murder rhythm section. Right.
Right. Yeah.
And then I got it over to Steph Hond, and he did an amazing job on the guitar work. I mean, amazing. Guy's amazing. So the next thing you know, Passion came out, and man, is that – I think it came out really cool. It's, like, so full, and it's a different version of the original, but it's a real cool rock version, and I'm really proud of that song on that record. But to answer your question for the originals, yeah, for the most part, all the originals I wrote, but I had, you know, Steph Hond. He would like or arrange them really well for me. I would send him demos of songs I had written, and outtakes from Insatiable and whatnot. And then he'd arrange them really strong. So most of the songs are arranged by him, and I wrote all the words and the you know, the music and stuff like that. There's a song called let me look here. Let It Go that I wrote with Chris Conyers, and a song called Fool that I wrote with Artie Dillon. Now, Artie plays with me in the Appice Brothers band.
That one is heavy. That is so good.
Very Aerosmithy. It's got, yes. It's got, this is a cool story. Let's see who the hell is on it. It's got Carl Kennedy from the Rods, who's amazing drummer, man. Carl's great. It's got Carl on there. It's got Freddie Villano, another amazing bass player who played with Dee Snider's Widowmaker, and he played in Quiet Riot. So I did a couple shows with those guys. We were putting together like some kind of super group at one point, and those two, we just all clicked really well. And man, I love playing with those guys. And
that,
then Artie
that
Dillon,
would be a great live band, because that song is fantastic. That's another, I mean, I'm just going to say it's another one of my favorites, because I there's like five or six songs that are just keep rotating around as I'm like, no, I love that one. No, I love that one. So, you know.
Well, another cool thing about that song is it has Ray Tabano on there. Now, you guys probably is like, who? Tabano was the original guitar player from Aerosmith.
Oh, interesting. And, so, Steven
Tyler's best friend. So the song is really Aerosmith sounding and real ballsy, and it's really a cool tune. So
the lyrics of that song are really cool. I mean, it seems like. And maybe I'm reading too much into it, but it sounds like, and maybe did you take, like, I don't know if they're song titles or, I mean, it seems like there are phrases in there that come maybe from your past or, you know, from some of the bands that you grew up with. I mean, it just was very cool stuff. And maybe I'm reading too much into it, but it was very cool lyrically.
Yeah, it's just kind of a cool tune. Like, I already wrote the music, all the music for it, and sent it over to me, and then I wrote all the melody in the lyrics.
Awesome.
And it's just something. Honestly, that was just something that just came to me. And I did, when I wrote those lyrics, I wrote those while I was in the studio singing it. So I wasn't. Sometimes I sit down and I pen it out on paper scribble and write a new word in there. I didn't do that with that song. With that song, I just hit the record button and I just went for it. And a lot of this stuff, a couple words were like, does that make sense or doesn't it? But you know what? It's there. Let's keep it. And it's a really cool tone.
That's an interesting approach for sure. Adam, right. You got a question?
Yeah, so Jim, unfortunately, I'm kind of limited to the Insatiable album because I have Spotify, and that's the only one that's available right now, currently. But, of course, Magic Touch cover, I mean, you killed that. That's one of my favorites.
Thanks, man.
And the whole album's just great. And then, of course, I was looking up some more stuff on YouTube, some of the videos. Broken, which album was that on?
That's on a new album, London Fog. That's
that's right, because I think you just uploaded that not too long ago. That's a Taylor song. But yeah, speaking of the new albums, where's the, like, what's the best way, what's the best outlet to purchase those or to get those from you?
You can get it from
Will they available? Will they be available on streaming platforms or?
Yes, they're going to be on all the streaming platforms, Spotify, all that.
All right.
That's coming. We just held off because of the distribution deal that we've been aggressively working on, and it
No, I
looks
understand that.
really good right now. I got some exciting news. You guys will hear it first, but so yeah, it's available at jimcrean.net. Double Trouble Productions and Visionary Noise Records. So you can get it at all those outlets right now. Pretty much if you type in Jim Crean or London Fog, all the links are there. But I'm working to finalize a deal right now with a label out of Japan and Brazil. And then it's going to be released, worldwide through Japan and Brazil. So I'm really excited. And also Insatiable is going to be released in Japan and Brazil as well.
Oh, nice. You have to order those Japanese copies with the cool OBI strips and lyric
Oh man.
insert sheets and all that
Yep.
stuff.
You'll
Us
have all that
collectors
cool stuff
love.
and different artwork too. So the whole all the
Hey,
artwork's gonna be completely different. So it's gonna be really cool.
cool.
So I'm a vinyl guy, so any plans to release anything on vinyl, that would be sick.
This album, London Fog, is gonna be released on vinyl.
Oh, hell yeah.
So yeah, but back to the song Broken. Yeah, that was the original. That was the gonna be the first song released from the record, but we ended up doing a video for Passion to release that first, just because we recorded it. Me and Carmine were out on tour together, and we had just everything, all the stars aligned. Me and him were together. We were able, and it's tough because we all have busy, touring schedules and whatnot, but we had just got done playing together and we were together. We said, let's get this video, filmed. So we went to the studio, filmed a video, me and Carmine did. And then, that's why we released Passion first. And, but then we did a video for Broken when we did a showcase, headlining showcase at, the Whiskey A Go Go in Hollywood CD release when the album first came out. And, we shot a video for Broken as well, but the people who played on Broken, it's got Rick Fox was in Steeler and Wasp,
All right.
so Rick did a phenomenal job on it. A great bass player, he played on it, and Stefan played guitar on it, and Vinny Appice played drums on it. So those guys are the guys who played on the song. But we recorded some live footage for the video at the Whiskey. So my Hair Nation band, who backed me up at the Whiskey, they're in the video. So it's kind of interesting how the video came out, because it really wasn't the way the video came out, a lot different than how I wrote the song. I wrote this song not about a relationship. I wrote it about being broken and just in general in life, whatever, whether it be your job or whatever. Just being broken at times. Everybody's broken. Everybody gets down, that type of stuff.
Right.
But the video concept is of a relationship breaking down. So, I wanted the song to be open for interpretation, but when you watch the video, it's about a really, it's blatantly about a relationship.
It
So,
translates well, it works. It comes
yeah.
across nicely. Well, I love that track. That's another
Broken.
great one.
Yeah, it could be about like losing a loved one or whatever, whatever. You know what I mean? And I wanted it to kind of let it be open to however you're feeling at that moment. But when you watch the video, it's pretty much cut and dry. It's about a guy and a girl breaking up, and guy's kind of
Which,
lost.
well, and aren't most great rock songs about all that, about that in the end?
Of course,
Right,
man.
right.
Life's about life's isn't at the end a life about that, truly,
Truly, truly, it is. Well,
Yeah.
awesome. It's such a great, strong record. We're gonna play a track from it now. We're gonna kick things off here with some music for you guys with Jim's tribute to Dio, Scream Taker. And you are back live with Podcast Rock City on KGF Rocks. You heard Scream Taker by Jim Crean from the London Fog album. Followed that up with two tracks from his Gotcha Covered covers album, two of the more unusual ones on there. We got Bye Bye Love, his Cars cover, and Saved by Zero, that kind of just creepy, cool, talking type voice in there. I love that one. And we finished it off with some heavy Zeppelin bass style riffs there in Loaded from the London Fog by Jim as well. Some great tracks in there. But, you know, we were talking about them, had to give you guys a taste of them. So there you are. And we're going to move now into our Sweet 16, but Brad, I hope I don't insult you by calling this week the Sappy 16. Oh, guys, you know I am not a fan of the power ballad, so that noise you hear is me cringing. We're going to be voting on the best Kiss ballad tonight, and I'm joking, I'm half joking. I do appreciate Brad came up with this one, and I love it. It is gonna be fun. So we are kicking it off. The randomizer put the top Kiss ballad at the top, so we're gonna start with Beth from Destroyer, so that's the version since there's so many out there, versus I Finally Found My Way to You from Psycho Circus. Jim, please start us off here.
Beth. I'm going Beth.
Do I have to ask for a reason?
Nah. The only reason, because, you know, we were kids and, oh, God, I don't even know if I like Beth. That might be a bad call. I don't know.
You'll find some company with that opinion, I'm sure. All right, Adam, what do you have for this first one?
Man, I love Psycho Circus, but, I mean, I guess you got to go with Beth in this situation, so Beth it is.
All right, well, I'm a Psycho Circus fan, too, big time, but I'm one of the few Kiss fans who I like Beth. I like the original Beth. I like the Peter Criss, you know, Beth on Destroyer. And I always have. I loved the Kiss had a big hit that, you know, moms liked and girlfriends liked, and everyone went, okay, maybe these guys aren't so scary and bad. But that's me. Brad, how do you feel about it?
Yeah, so it's going to be a sweep. With Beth, at least on the
show, you're voting
between us. I think the first time I was on, you interviewed me after I had met Peter Criss, and I think I had told the story about I wrote a lullaby to the melody of Beth for my daughter.
Right.
And so anyway, but you know, that's Beth is the better song of these two, so that's why I'm going.
And what do our Facebook voters say? I'm going to assume, despite the Beth hate, they're going to agree with us here.
Yeah. So so I've got two Beths and one Found My Way, but so Beth is going
to. All right. We will move on then, and to our next matchup, which is Easy Thing from the Peter Criss 78 solo record. Versus Shandy from Unmasked. Jim, you got an out-and-out favorite here?
Shandy all the way. That's actually a great song.
All right. And Adam, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm with Jim on that one, Shandy.
Yeah, I'll admit that I like the Peter Criss solo record. I think I like it a lot more than most people because I will listen to it, but Easy Thing is not a song that immediately came to my memory bank when I tried to pull it up. So, you know, without having to go into my iTunes and actually listen to it, I couldn't quite recall it. Whereas Shandy, come on, that I love that song. So that's me. Brad, where are you here?
Yeah. So when I, you know, being 7 years old when those solo albums came out, I didn't know what to do with Peter Criss's album. I just, you know, I've come to appreciate it, and I like some of his other solo work as well. But back then, I just had no idea what to do with it. But to be honest, as I got older, I actually really enjoyed the Easy Thing song, and I'm actually going to go Easy Thing. So I'm going to.
Interesting. Okay. Wouldn't have predicted that one, but I imagine that our Facebook voters have erased you.
So yeah, so it's actually, yeah, it's interesting. So I've got, let's see. So one Easy Thing and two Shandies. So
was the Easy Thing Matt Porter?
It was.
I knew we had another cat lover in the room. What can I say?
There you go.
All right. Well, that's okay. I predicted that one without looking, but that, you know, it's all right.
Well, and now a third Shandy. So yeah, Shandy's going to take it.
Okay. Okay. Well, everyone likes a drink of Shandy. We will move on to the next matchup, which is a little more heavy hitting. I Still Love You from Creatures of the Night versus the original Hard Luck Woman from Rock and Roll Over. Jim, what are your thoughts here?
I Still Love You. I think it's a great song.
All right. Adam?
Yep. You know me. I'm a Creatures guy.
I'm not even asking. You know, Adam's not going to vote against Creatures if we paid him. Exactly. So we'll just mark that vote down there. And I'm going to say the same. There are people who have disparaged this song as Paul trying to do his Robert Plant or whatever. Forget it, man. I Still Love You. Great song. Brad?
Yeah, so this is actually out of the first round ones. I think this is one of the tougher the tougher ones. They're two totally different songs, obviously. But I mean, if we're strictly, you know, putting them up against each other, I mean, Paul's performance on "I Still Love You," you can't beat it.
It's hard to deny, man.
It is, and I wasn't crazy about kind of his early live versions of it for whatever reason, the bootlegs that I would hear I was not a fan of that song live. Of course, until they did it unplugged, and then it just blew my socks off. So,
right.
I Still Love You. I'll go with that.
Okay, and what about online?
Yeah, so I've got three Hard Luck Womans, and so I'm waiting for one more. Well, yeah, that's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, how we've kind of split here. We've got the classic, lineup lovers there with the, and then we've got our latter heavier, because I love a Hard Luck Woman from Alive too, but we're talking about the original one here from Rock and Roll Over. Yep.
So I'm kind of waiting for John Clark here, and I don't, just to see if he
he's gonna chime in.
It would be tied, but,
okay. Well, we can table that one and move on, and we'll figure out what the final say on that one was in a minute here. So
sounds good.
We'll move on to "Take Me Away" from Paul's solo 78 record versus "See You Tonight" from Gene's 78 solo record. So we got some solo album matchups here. Jim,
"Take Me Away." I think Paul's solo album out of the four, even though there's New York Groove and all that, Paul's album was phenomenal. "Tonight You Belong to Me" is one of my favorite songs by any Kiss song. So, so that for sure, Paul's song.
All right. And Adam?
Yeah. I think I've said this before, but, Paul, Ace, Peter, and Gene in that order are my favorites. So yeah, I got to go with "Take Me Away."
You got to take me away. Man, I was kind of in the middle on this because I thought I wanted to give Gene a vote because he's not going to get a vote anywhere else on this list.
That's my least favorite solo album, man.
Yeah, you don't have too many Gene ballads. Come on.
When you wish upon a star, come on now.
Ouch, he went there. It's he true. Went there. Okay. Well, you can't take anything away from Paul's "Take Me Away." So I got to vote that despite my desire to give Gene a vote there. So we got three for "Take Me Away." Brad, is this one a sweep also?
No, I'm going to go the direction you were starting to go. I love that song "See You Tonight" from the first time I heard it. And, so I'm going to throw Gene a bone and go and see you tonight.
Well, someone had to do it. He had to get one vote here. So, how did we end up with our previous matchup of "I Still Love You" and "Hard Luck Woman"?
I think we're gonna call that one.
Okay, so I Still Love You takes it. And then how do we look for this matchup online?
So I've got two See You Tonights actually, and one Take Me Away.
I mean, I'm not laughing. It's a great song, but boy, holding that up against Take Me Away from Paul's solo record, that's a tough one. But, well, Gene, you got your votes, but we'll have to
not
see
enough.
You later. Yeah. All right. So our next matchup is Forever from Hot in the Shade versus Every Time I Look at You from Revenge. So Paul versus Paul. and Jim, what do you think here?
Forever.
That was a big hit, wasn't it, man?
They just, you know what, the whole idea that it was Eric's, you know, kind of last big song that he, you know, got to play on.
Yeah.
And that whole thing, the video is really cool. You know, the video is really cool. And they showed a lot of Eric in the video. And it's just because he passed right after that, right?
Okay, look, Jim, maybe we should just have Jim vote and just like forget tallying everybody else. He's like, he's slamming home these points right off the bat that are really hard to disagree with. And
I was gonna say something about the video.
I will tell you, Jim, you know, there's seem to be two ways you can just drop something on this show that everyone falls in line behind, as that is anything that pays tribute to Eric Carr or anything
right.
about what an awesome dude Bruce Kulick is and how much we appreciate what he brought to Kiss. So, you know, right there, you did it. So, Adam, since you were going to talk about the video, can I just mark you down for forever here?
Yeah.
And you got the same from me. No arguments. What do you say, Brad?
So Brent, are you going with Forever?
Yeah, got to.
Okay. So quick, interesting story about that. So I met my wife in 93. We got married in 96. Of course, I introduced her to Kiss, and as we're getting ready to plan for the wedding and the first dance song and everything, and so her favorite ballad is Every Time I Look at You, but the content of that song is not that's not exactly what you're going to play at a wedding. So we kind of by default we did Forever,
and I think a lot of people have,
and a lot of people have, right? So but to be honest, Every Time I Look at You, I prefer that song. So I may be the only person on here that's gonna that's
so
gonna
what
go
you're
that
trying
way,
to but. Say is, though you love your wife, you hate Eric Carr. We hear you. You're fired. We hear you, but you're fired.
So Facebook has spoken and has put me in my corner. So
okay,
I'm the only one that chose Every Time I Look at You.
Okay. I think Jim will have a tough time being as influential with this next matchup, because it's Kiss the Girl Goodbye from Peter Criss's solo album and I Will Be There from Carnival of Souls. Definitely, what an odd song from that record. So, Jim, what's your take here?
I Will Be There.
All right. And Adam, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of Carnival of Souls, so I Will Be There.
Yeah, you know, I love that record too, but it's not a ballad record, you know? I mean, it's their like heavy drop tuned type album. So a
grunge.
Yeah, a ballady song is a real different thing in there. Brad, what do you got?
Yeah, so, you know, my aforementioned writing a lullaby for my daughter to Beth. Well, I did the same thing with my son to this song. So I'm going to choose I Will Be There.
Brad, we're learning so much. You're voting along,
yeah,
you know, personal family lines for, you know, we've got weddings, we've got children being born, we've got, you know,
well,
I'm expecting to hear about first
how,
date and high school girlfriend and everything else in here. So I love it.
Yeah, has revolved around my life. For all of us,
Kiss is such an integral part of all of our lives. You know, it's why there's a show like this. So very cool. Okay. Go. Well, and did Facebook put Baby in the corner here too?
Well, they put Porter in the corner.
I figured he voted along with you.
The girl, goodbye. But the other two votes were for I Will Be There.
So. All right. Well, we'll vote next for I Can't Stop the Rain from Peter Criss's solo record versus Nothing Can Keep Me From You from the Detroit Rock City soundtrack. Jim?
Tough one. Can't Stop the Rain.
Okay, I'm sensing a shifting of the winds here. Adam?
No, I Can't Stop the Rain. That's a great tune, man.
No. I had this circled on my paper because I thought, here's where the crowd shifts into Peter's camp. Because, you know, and because I'm going with it too. Brad, how about you?
Yep, I'm gonna go with it as well. Over the I Don't Want to Miss a Thing wannabe song. So
thanks, Brad.
So bad. Yes.
Yeah.
You got it. Okay, and I'm curious now what the Facebook voters will say.
Yeah, so Can't Stop the Rain, Rain by a Mile.
Okay.
So it looks like, I Can't Stop the Rain.
Not a lot of love for that latter period ballad there. Okay.
No.
All right, well, the first matchup then of the final matchup of the Sweet 16 is Reason to Live from Crazy Nights versus Hold Me, Touch Me from Paul's 78 solo record.
Ooh.
Yeah,
God, that's a tough one because I like both songs.
Couple of powerhouses.
Hold Me, I guess. You know.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, Adam. Adam. Hello. Uh-oh. Did we lose you, Adam?
I think Adam's in. Adam's tearing up a little bit because these ballads are really getting to him.
Can you guys not hear me?
Oh, no. What did you say? We lost you.
Okay.
So we hear you now. What are you voting for here?
Yeah, sorry. I was tearing up there for a little bit. man, Reason to Live is such a great song. But I hate that album. So I'm going to go with Hold Me on this one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I will say I like both these songs a lot, but like with Hold Me, Touch Me, I don't know why, and maybe you guys can and will laugh at me for this. Reason to Live, I like it, but I've always thought it was kind of corny. And Hold Me, Touch Me, okay, I should probably think that's a corny song too, but it's not. I think it's beautiful. So I don't know.
Yeah, it's good. It's a great song.
I got Hold Me, Touch Me. Brad, are you going to Hold Me, Touch Me? What's happening here?
No, I'm going Reason to Live. I think Hold Me, Touch Me is the one song that keeps the Paul Stanley solo album a perfect record. I just never got it and don't.
Hey guys,
Could you guys imagine if you came up with a title called Hold Me, Touch Me in this day and age? You'd be lost.
You'd be Me Too'd out of existence before you could finish singing the last line.
It always makes me think of the U2 song, Hold Me, Thrill Me, Kiss Me.
Well, that came, 20 years later? So
yeah, later.
Right.
All right.
Okay.
The millennials would lose in their minds right now with that title.
Oh, boy. Yeah, true. Well, did Facebook lose their minds? What'd they do?
No, so 2-1, Hold Me, Touch Me.
Okay, so Hold Me, Touch Me moves on. So, all right, I think I was about to say, I think we can kind of power through the Elite Eight, and then I look at our first matchup, which is Beth versus Shandy, which to me, I think, is a tough, tough call. But, Jim, what do you think?
Which ones were they?
Beth versus Shandy.
Oh, to Shandy.
All right, Adam.
Yeah, I'm going with Shandy.
Yeah, you know, I am too, because where to me, like, Shandy has a little bit of something from everybody in it, whereas, you know, Beth is basically just Peter. So, Brad, what do you like?
So I'm gonna go with Beth. I'm gonna keep all right. That going.
So for the rest of the show, I'm not asking you how you're voting. I'm just putting the opposite of everybody else, and I'm assuming there's some personal story that backs up your reasoning. Okay, is that fair?
I understand why he's voting that way, though.
Yeah, that's fair, Brent.
Okay. Yeah. How'd that one come out online?
Yeah. So I've got Shandy, Beth. Porter stayed with me.
Okay. You've had some company with your votes tonight. You're not wrong by any stretch of the imagination.
Sure. Yeah.
All right. Well, we got "I Still Love You" versus "Take Me Away, Together as One."
I still love you.
Well, I still love you too, Jim. So
hold me, touch me.
Yikes! All right. So, Adam, what do you? I'm not asking you, Adam.
Yeah, please don't. Just yeah.
I'm just voting Creatures of the Night for you, and I'm also voting Creatures of the Night for myself. I Still Love You. Has three votes when I hand it over to Brad so he can tell me no.
Nope, it's going to be four. So
wow, all right.
We'll have okay. a sweep between us.
Okay.
So let's take a look at what happened here. I see two Take Me Aways, one I Still Love You, and let's see. I think we've got kind of a fourth person coming in from time to time.
Okay.
Let's see, one more comment.
Well, it won't sway the vote, though. I mean, we appreciate their vote, but it won't take it down. So I Still Love You moves on. And and we vote Forever versus I Will Be There. Jim?
Forever.
Yep. All right, Adam.
Man, you already know I got to go with Forever.
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't know what we're going to whittle it down to, but I think these remainders were kind of flying through them here. I got Forever, and Brad, what are you voting?
I'm gonna go with I Will Be There.
Yeah. Hey, well, you know what? You're
just
making your wife happy.
For sentimental reasons.
That's right. You're making your wife happy with these votes, and that's a sweet thing to do.
There you go.
I said it was a sappy 16, so that makes sense. That makes sense.
Yep.
And any I Will Be There votes online, or is it?
So, forever.
No.
Forever is forever. All right. Well, our last one from the Elite Eight, I Can't Stop the Rain versus Hold Me, Touch Me.
I still love you.
you'll get a chance to vote on that one again. Oh, okay. You're just
saying. I'm just saying I still love you. That's all.
Okay. Well, do you love me enough to hold me, touch me, or stop the rain?
I think we're going to hold you, hold me, touch me.
Okay. Well, we won't tell anyone. Adam.
Yeah, I'm going to hold you, touchy.
Okay. Well, everyone's touchy-feely. I'm going to be touchy-feely, too, and I can tell you Brad's going to stop the rain.
I am.
Okay. And I can tell you Matt Porter's going to stop the rain. But,
yep, he did.
But the two of you are going to be the only ones.
No, actually, Mike Williams did stop.
Oh, hey,
rain.
Mike. All right. Well,
but John Clark did hold me. So
okay.
I think.
Yeah, I think hold me is going to take that one. But some nice votes there. All right. Well, we are down to our final four. And these are tough votes. We're going to probably chuckle with whatever our comments are, but these are not easy. Shandy versus I Still Love You, Jim.
That's a good one. Shandy.
Okay. All right, Adam. You're going Creatures?
You already know.
Okay. I thought so. But look, you've got pure power pop ballad versus hard rock ballad right there, you know?
So I got a, what was it, a Bruce Springsteen ripoff versus
versus the Zeppelin rip, the Robert Plant ripoff,
or the Zeppelin, yeah.
Okay. But well, hey, what a ripoff it is! I am voting I Still Love You. And Brad, how are you going here?
So I'm going I Still Love You.
Okay.
But hey, Brent, real quick,
yeah.
As I go back and look, we had a late on that previous one.
Oh, okay.
So I had Porter, Mike Williams, and Bill Elam came in with I Can't Stop the Rain. So that's three on there and one from me.
Ooh, so did we tie?
So we actually
I Can't
tied
Stop
on
the Rain tied with
one.
Hold Me, Touch Me. Wow.
It did. It did, you know, with Bill Elam coming in late.
That's proof that it takes all kinds. So no, I'm joking. Well, we'll flip the coin then.
I think we got to flip a coin.
I've got it right here. We've got heads, I Can't Stop the Rain, and tails is Hold Me, Touch Me. Let's see how it goes. Well, it was tails, but it was a nice concerted effort on the part there to get that extra vote in for I Can't Stop the Rain. But
there you go.
All right. So it was Hold Me, Touch Me. So, all right. So now that we've settled that, we're split 3-1 for I Still Love You and Shandy on the show. How'd it go online there?
So I've got 4 Shandys.
Whoa.
Oh.
The internet overturns us.
Look at that.
Wow. Okay. Hey, that's the power of the people. I
mean,
that
is a good song. That's a good
yeah.
song.
Hard to deny. All right. So we got Forever versus Hold Me, Touch Me. Jim?
Tonight You Belong to Me.
Well, if that one were in here. Okay. Go ahead.
Oh, that would win it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hold Me, I guess.
You know, I think we could all toss a coin on this one, practically.
Yeah, they're both good songs.
Yeah, Adam, what do you have here?
Forever.
Okay, I'm going to go Hold Me, Touch Me. And Brad, what are you thinking?
So I'm going to go Forever.
All right.
So we're split.
All right. Well, let's let the online votes have their say.
Yep, so I've seen... Let's see. I've got 2 Forevers already. Forever. Hold Me, Touch Me from Porter. And Bill Elam has a. What am I missing here? He's got a picture of the Tin Man. Why is that on there?
Hold Me, Touch Me.
Hold Me, Touch Me. Is that what that is?
Interesting.
Let's
okay.
Let's see if he's actually gonna.
Is he going to vote, or is it Forever?
It says something out Forever. Yep. So.
Okay. All right. Our final matchup for the championship ballad, Shandy versus Forever. I didn't expect this one. Jim, what have you got between these two?
I got Shandy.
Adam.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting these two either, but if I got to choose, it's going to be Shandy.
No, it's not got to choose. It's that's a different song. All right.
Who's your lady?
I think that the average, none of us are average Kiss fans. We're all maniacs. But the average Kiss fan would think we were nuts for not going with Forever. But I'm going with Shandy. Brad, we got 3 chances.
Actually, so I haven't voted for Shandy, I don't think, once on this whole thing. But I think I'm going to go with it.
I was going to say, that's okay. We know you've been wrong.
I've been wrong the whole show, right? So,
okay.
But no, I think I'm going to go with Shandy.
So we power blocked Shandy here on the show, but what do the listeners say?
Yeah, so... So yeah, I mean, I've got 2 Shandys already, so it's gonna.
It looks like it's
gonna win.
It looks like it's Shandy. I would not have picked Shandy at the outset to be the best Kiss ballad, but that's where we ended up, isn't it?
I wasn't expecting that either.
No, me either. All right. Well, we are going to crown Shandy top Kiss ballad. We're going to hear a few Kiss ballads, and then we're going to come back and talk to Jim some more. Sound good? Let's do it. Okay, I think that segment right there was about as chilled out and laid back as our segment with Jim's tracks was over the top rocking. You are back with Podcast Rock City on KGF Rocks. You heard I Will Be There from the Carnival of Souls album and Easy Thing by Peter Criss. And great tracks, but a light touch. And but fun stuff for sure. And it was a crazy fun vote, and we had a good time with that. But Jim, I want to be respectful of your time. Can we hang on to you for 10 more minutes and chat a bit more?
Sure.
Okay, I appreciate you letting us run long. I know it's getting late there. I've got a story I referenced when we were off air, and I said, hey, you know what, I'm going to save that and tell that story on myself while we're on air. And this is it's a testament to your incredible singing. And when I got ready to take our last show that we did and put it together for a podcast, and I pulled up the file to start editing that thing. And like I always do, I can, you know, I've edited enough of them. I can, you know, look at the waveform here and, you know, the visualization of the audio. And I can see here's our music segment. Here's our intro. Here's where I'm talking. And of course, where I'm talking, it looks like a little gnat fluttering in front of your face. That's my voice, this little blip on the spectrum. And then right next to it, there's this thing that looks like a brick-walled rock CD from the late 90s. It's just like blasting the spectrum from the top to the bottom and the middle. And I'm like, okay, wait a minute. So I said something and then played a little bit of a song and then said, what the hell? I click into it. It's you talking. That's your voice is so full and so huge. It's filling the whole window, man. I mean, and I am sure you like work with your voice and you do stuff to keep your voice amazing, but you've also just got some God-given ability way beyond what I could ever imagine, man. That was unbelievable. We've had a lot of talented people. We've had a lot of great singers on this show, but never seen anyone's voice do that. So,
well, I appreciate that, man. I mean, you know, I've been doing it my whole life. I guess I don't know any better.
know? Well, and this is just you're speaking. You're not there in the studio trying to like belt it out. This is just you chatting with us, and you're hitting the highs, the mids, the lows, everything at once, as thick as can be. It's a beautiful thing. I'm glad you share it with us. So, but I thought that was too funny. I had to tell that story. I pulled that thing up. I was like, "What is this? Oh my god."
That's a great story, man.
Well, and it's a true one. So, you know, aside from your, it's hard to say aside from your two new albums, because, you know, who the hell even does that? But aside from that, you're even busier with even more stuff going on. So you're gearing up to do these shows with Carmine and Vinny, right? You guys have like an East Coast run coming up?
Yep. Yeah. We're going to be going to where are we going? Washington, Boston, Sayersville, PA, and New York City. So we're doing that at the end of the month, and
is that a Drum Wars kind of thing? I mean, is it the same kind of format?
Yep, it is Drum Wars. It's a Peace Brothers Drum Wars. You know, we have two albums out. We got a live album out we did in 2014, yeah. That features all the brothers' hits, you know, the Rod Stewart, the Dio, the Sabbath, Ozzy, you know, all that Blue Murder. And then we did a studio album in 2018. And that is an amazing album. If you get a chance, pick it up. It's on Steam Hammer Records.
Yeah, we played tracks from that the last time you were
have
on.
You?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And
that's a great album.
It
man.
Is so good. And so you guys and they kind of sometimes have different people on bass and guitar playing with them. Who's filling in this time? Who are they working with? Who are you guys bringing?
Well, we got Jimmy Caputo, who plays in Cactus with Carmine, and Artie Dillon, who's been, you know, me, Jimmy, and Artie have been, yeah, we've done tons of together. Shows.
Yeah. Yeah,
many shows together, and that's usually the core. That's kind of we were talking about. Me and Carmine were actually talking about. We're going to try and keep that lineup consistent moving forward, just because it's such a strong lineup. And when we get different guitar players and bass players in different cities like that, and some of them are the best of the best guys, you know, in each city. It's such a unique show that sometimes the dynamics. It's really hard to really capture what we've been doing for so many years. So
imagine.
We, Carmine, you know, said to me just the other day that, we're going to keep it more consistent. Use Jimmy and Artie for pretty much all the rest of the shows. So, and I'm excited because they're great players.
Well, and after you guys are done with this, what is it like, take a little downtime and then go back and do West Coast or what's next with them after you do this East Coast run?
Yeah, that's exactly what happens. I mean, we're all so busy. Carmine's got Vanilla Fudge. Vinny's got Last in Line. You know, I got Hair Nation. you know, the other guys. Jimmy goes out with Blondie. And Artie's a really sought-after guy in the city. You know, he's always working. So we're all real busy guys. So, you know, we try and schedule dates around everybody's schedule. Fortunately enough, we all control our own schedule, so we can do that. But yeah, that's what's going to happen over the summer. We're going to do some West Coast shows and kind of keep it going that way. But
selfishly, I got to beg for a run through the South, so because I got to catch this man. So
yeah, we've been there. I mean, we've been to Carolinas and we've been around. I mean, you got to check it out. It's a great show because we do. The history of the brothers, basically.
Right.
So it's all the songs that they've done throughout their career, and what a catalog of music. And I'm honored to be singing, you know, Ronnie James Dio, who was a big influence on my career, songs by him and Ozzy and Rod Stewart, some of my favorite singers right there. So it's a real treat for me to get to play with these songs. So, It's a great show. Everybody thinks it's just a drum clinic type thing. It's not.
Oh no. That live record gives you a taste of what it is. And you know, it's far from a drum clinic. It's I mean, you don't have to know the first thing about any of it. Although I won't lie. They'll blow your mind. I mean, just listening to the live CD blows your mind. So.
Oh, okay. You've heard the CD then. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that's just from the minute you put it on to the end, you go, holy cow, what a show. I can't imagine what this would look like. We're going to eventually put out a live DVD of it.
That would be great.
Yeah, we just got to get the right theater and all that to get it done. But that's the goal. And once we do that, then you can see it. And, I mean, there's been tons of shows filmed. We filmed one in North – there was one in North Carolina, and there was one filmed in North Dakota, and a lot of the shows have been filmed, and I've seen a bunch in Detroit and Whiskey Go-Go in LA. So there's a lot of stuff out there that we have, but eventually they were talking about actually releasing a professional, you know, 5-camera shoot video.
That would be great. Well,
oh, man, that would be really sick.
So you mentioned Hair Nation. So you guys have like opening slots for a lot of you're playing dates with Slaughter and Warrant and Brett Michaels. You've got a lot of good stuff coming up for that project.
Yeah, it's we got a great place in my hometown called the Showplace Theater. Joe Roxbury owns it, and Pat Sullivan they partner up, and they bringing a lot of cool concerts like that together. Back to back entertainments. You know, Ross Catalano, he's been pushed, you know, helping me for many years. And the shows that we have booked are we just did Rat a couple weeks ago, and that show was sold out, like just a crazy show. So I'm looking forward to doing those shows. I'm going to be doing some summer touring with Mike Tramp, a good friend of mine.
Yeah. And so, he plays on a lot of stuff with you. So, yeah,
he does. Yeah. Speaking of that, I want to just kind of give a shout out to some of the guys on my record,
please.
All right. We got, I got Stefan from, he's a French guitar player. Phenomenal. It's basically this record's mine and his record. Really. It is. He also plays with the Hollywood Monsters. That features Ronnie Robson, who's also on this record, and Vinny Appice, who's also on the record, my record. But they have a project called the Hollywood Monsters that just released a CD, and I sang a bunch of background harmonies on songs, in return. So he's on it. Of course, my buddy Mike Tramp, who in my opinion is probably one of the coolest guys in the music industry, and I truly mean that. He's just such a grounded guy, and he's a realist. He gets it. You know what I mean? He's not one of those guys that tries to be something he's not. What you see is what you get with Mike, and it's really refreshing to see that. When he tells you something, it's real. You know what I mean? So it's great that me and him bonded, and he's been on my last couple albums. So Rudy Sarzo, Quiet Riot, White Snake.
Yeah, I have seen Rudy play with Blue Oyster Cult. So
Blue Oyster Cult, that's right. Yeah. He's doing that project. He's on Scream Taker, and he just mangled that song. He did such a great job. And that's a cool word for it, because he was just ripping on that song. Of course, Carmen Appice, Vinny Appice. This is a great one. Frank Domino from Angel, who's really doing – he was on my last album as well. But Angel's doing a great job with their reunion, and Frank did a great job. We did an Angel song, Don't Take Your Love, off the Sinful album.
And if you're a KISS fan, you love Angel, so –
Mm-hmm. For sure. Cause Kiss and Angel were, good and bad, type of thing.
Yeah.
And we did a song, a really rare song that Frank wrote, called Don't Take Your Love. And it has, Rick Fox from Wasp and Steeler on it on bass. And it's got Vinny Appice on drums and Steph on guitar, of course. And the great Frank Domino on vocals.
Love it.
Tony Franklin's on the record. This is a great one. My fiance Colleen's on the record. She plays on a couple songs. She plays on a song called Let It Go. Me and the boys on break were talking about that song. One of my favorite songs off the record, to be honest with you, Let It Go. Features Colleen and Chris Cunz on bass. It's just a great song. And Colleen's also on 1981, which is a really cool tune.
That's a very homage-y type song, that 1981. Love that one. Just kind of nails what was going on and the sound and everything. Love it.
I had that song written way back then in like 1981. I mean, right around that time.
Okay.
That song was written way back then, when I was just coming up. And I always would want to, how can I bring this out? How can I bring this song up? And every album, I would do all these albums, and it for some reason that would get shelved. I would never use it. And when I did this album, I said, I'm bringing that song back to life. I've changed it a lot since then, but the idea has been, the riff has been there. And I love that song. I think it came out really cool,
It did. And that's so cool that you and Colleen, work together and, play this music together. That's just too awesome. And I mean, you guys perform together in Hair Nation. That's just great.
Listen, she is a great drummer. She got great meter. She's on this, featured in this video, this Beats video that's out, and she's a featured artist on it. And, she just really puts on a great show. And also on the record is A.D. Zimmer from, he played with Lou Graham and from Foreigner. And he's also in my Hair Nation band. He's the bass. He plays on a bunch of songs, and he's just a monster bass player and a great, super great guy. That's even makes it even better, Robbie Lochner from Jack Russell's Great White. And he was also in Rob Halford's Fight is on it.
Great
guitar player.
Very cool. Mm-hmm.
Robbie's a ripper. He's a shredder. He's just a great, great player. I told you earlier that Ray Tabano from Aerosmith, Artie Dillon. This is a real cool one. Baron Kubrus. Baron played with Blind Guardian. So this guy, he's a European guy. Listen, this guy is a phenomenal bass player. Like, just incredible. You know, I asked him to do it, the record, because he does shows with Vinny out in Europe. When Vinny goes out to Europe and does like a Black Sabbath tribute type thing, Vinny does now, and Baron plays with him. Well, Vinny came back from Europe, one of the tours that he did, and we were touring. He came back. I mean, Vinny works hard. He got done doing a European tour, and then we went out with the Peace Brothers. And while we were out on the road, Vinny said, "Hey, I played the bass player that I'm working with in Europe some of your stuff, and he thought you were great, and he said he'd like to play in your record." So I got in touch with him and everything, and before you know it, he sends me the bass for one of my songs, and I went, "Oh my God, this guy's phenomenal."
That's a nice compliment to you, you know.
Then he turned out to be just a super cool guy, so I just want to give him a big shout out. Ronnie Robson did a great job. He played on 1981, great bass player. Chris Tristram, we were talking about House of Lords earlier. He's in House of Lords, and he's also playing. He played with Jack Russell's Great White. Chris Holmes from Wasp is on the record.
Yeah, you got a Wasp connection for sure.
Yeah, well, he did a cool job on it. Chris Kynes, you know, he played with Tango Down, great bass player. Dave Pentrello, studio player. Freddie Violano from was that Dee Snider's Widowmaker and what other band? Quiet Riot he was in. Carl Kennedy from the Rods, great drummer. Really cool guy too. And Mitch Perry from he was in Talis. He was also in Cher. Michael Schenker Group, Macaulay Schenker Group. So Mitch is just an amazing guitar player. And like I said, on the covers album, I got Art Kalenda and a lot of the other guys that also played on this album. So just everybody that played on both records, I just wanted to give a shout out to them because they all worked very hard on this stuff. And I'm really pleased with the way everything sounds. So
no, I think that's great, and I love how you share the credit and make sure that they get recognized. And I also think what a thrill for you to work with so many wonderful people, some some heroes, here's somebody who just heard your stuff and said they loved it, and you like give them a chance to write a part, and you love what they do. What a great way to connect, you know.
Absolutely. And another one, the artwork is done by Jeff DeBury, and it's produced by Steve Major, and executive produced by Steve Sussman. So hopefully I caught everybody, but just a great bunch of guys on the record, and I'm really blessed that all these guys came through and really just did a great job on the record, to be honest with you, because it would not be as half as good as it is if I didn't have such a great cast of players on it.
No, that's true. I mean, it takes more than just your great vocals, you know. It takes a lot of other things. So, well, I wanted to kick it to Adam and give him a chance to ask another question here. Did you have a comment or anything to add here before we kind of wrap things up, Adam?
Like I said, I was watching a lot of the YouTube stuff, and I came across the Can't Find My Way video.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought it was cool that you said you guys filmed that where they filmed the Planet of the Apes scene. Is that right?
Oh, yeah. That we did that. Me and Mike Tramp, sang that song there. It's an old Freak of Nature song. We filmed it on location where they filmed the final scene from the 1968 version of Planet of the Apes on Point Doom Beach.
Along the beach. That's cool.
I thought that was really cool. Yeah.
Like when he dropped down on his knees, you did it, you blew it up, that part.
Right.
Well, where they had the fake Statue of Liberty head, that's where we filmed that actual rock. I was out, most of the video, I'm standing on top of the rock. And then you'll see
that's
me walking.
That's what I thought. Yeah, that's so cool, man. That's awesome.
That was really – listen, that's one of my favorite movies, so that was real cool that we got permission to film over there. And, yeah, that was cool.
Man, that's a cool story. I love those movies too. I just grew up on them, so that's great. Right, cool. Well, Brad, did you have something to add?
Yeah, just, with regards to Hair Nation, when you're opening for some of these – Brett Michaels and some of these other artists, how do you put together a set, before you're playing, kind of before the real thing. I mean, obviously you're not going to be playing any Poison songs before Bret Michaels, but how do you go about putting together a set for those types of shows?
Well, we usually for example, Bret Michaels, we open up with Look What the Cat Dragged In. I think we close that night with Talk Dirty to Me. And then in between it, we just put a bunch of B-sides of Poison. So it really goes over okay. really well. So no, it's so funny you said that, though, because we have that dilemma every time we play most of these type of songs.
Right. I hadn't even thought about that.
Pretty much every 80s band you can think of, we've opened up for in some aspect or been on some kind of festival with them or some kind of bill. So it's tricky because, you know, like you said, we can't play the artists that we're opening for, obviously. And you don't want to play a different type of genre. So, like, if we're opening for Bret Michaels, I'm not going to come out and do, like, Heaven and Hell by Dio and stuff like that. Because you got all these girls in the front row, scare them.
I love it.
And then we open up for Diamond Head one time, and we, you know, you're not going to go out and play, you know, Talk Dirty to Me by Poison. You got all these biker looking metal heads, all sweaty looking at you like, what? Talk
right.
dirty
no,
to me?
Right. No.
Know your audience, right? Yeah. There you go.
You've got to.
We actually went out and did Talk Dirty to Me when we opened up for, Udo. You guys were saying Udo.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Except we opened up for Udo. And when we opened up with Talk Dirty to Me, but what was weird is, like, the first 12 guys in the first front row, one of them was winking at me when I was singing that song. So
that's the side effect. Oh, that's good.
I'll kick the side though. Yeah, we just when we're putting these shows together, I try and sneak some of my originals in because, in all honesty, I want people to hear the original stuff because that's cool. But people, it's so weird. People always say, you know, play originals, but it's the craziest thing when you play these covers on some of these bills. It seems like that gets them all fired up for the national band. When you play originals, because they don't know the song, it could be a great song. You know, I could go out and play like Loaded or something like that, or Broken.
Right.
You see them bobbing their heads, but they don't know the song. So then you'll play some cheesy 80s song, and that they love that. So we've learned to know how to play to our audience, and I think that's what we do. In a perfect world, I'd love to come out and just do a full set of my own originals and say, hey, go buy the CD, you know, in a perfect world. But, you know, if you want to make a good show, you got to do the 80s set. You know, we're doing a cool show here in Buffalo. It's called Buffalo's Greatest 80s Party, and they used to get like 3,500 people at this thing. The radio station sponsors at 97 Rock. And I'm looking forward to doing that because we get to do kind of whatever we want to do during that show. So, you know, so it's a catch-22. When you open up for these national bands, it's a great honor. And you want to be respectful to the band that you're opening for.
That's
true. So you want to do a good set. So you don't want to just go out there with the intentions of trying to outdo them. Because if you do that, you're just fooling yourself. People are there to, let's face it, they're there to see the band that's the headliner. You know, I mean, I see that so many times when I'm out with the Appice Brothers and I see these bands that open up for us, and you can just tell they're just trying to impress the brothers. You know,
right.
They're just,
I imagine
they're over. The drummers are overplaying and the singers are trying to sound like Ronnie and they're all trying to do this thing. And we just sit back in the green room going, I wonder if this band is any good. We don't know because they're overplaying.
We can't tell because they've gotten too full of themselves tonight.
Yep.
I love it.
I guess it's like a football player playing in front of the coach. You're just trying too hard and you're fumbling the ball, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, Jim, love talking to you so much.
Thanks.
It's always a great time. And so you told people where they can pick up the records. Where can anybody listening, what's the best way for somebody to keep up with what you're doing? You're involved in so much. Is it Facebook? Is it Twitter? Where can they follow you to figure out what you have going on?
Absolutely, Facebook. I post anything I'm doing in the moment. You know, I throw it up on Facebook. As far as my website, I have a website that's always it's, I think they take, you know, they maintain that thing every day. So go on jimcrean.net.
Okay.
And you can find out everything on that. I do want to give a quick shout out to some of my endorsements that I have.
Please.
I have Kicklids Pro Player Art. That's Angela Gambino. I want to thank her. Sola Guitars, Anthony Sola. These guitars are unbelievable. The guitars that they've sent me, they have really cool, like the Famous Monsters. I got one of those. I got Mars Attacks guitar. Oh, so all the the graphics are just killer. And they're making me a custom guitar. So
Gotta see that. You gotta post that when you get a hold of that baby.
For sure.
Okay.
My String King, my string endorsement through Chris Gale, Nexus Airbridge Wireless Guitar Systems, and of course JD Graphics does all my artwork. And I want to thank Rick Fox for getting me those endorsements. So it's a great honor to be still doing it and doing it at this level and get to talk to guys like you guys, you know, so thank you.
Well, I mean, you know, obviously we could, you know, fill 4, 5, 6 hours with all the great stuff you have going on, all the music you're playing, all your stories. So, you know, it's an honor to talk to you and to have that opportunity for us. So, well, Podcast Rock City live episodes are available for download. There's new episodes posted every Friday. This show will come around there eventually, and you can download it and listen to Jim again. But this week, we've got our recent chat with author-musician Ken Sharp coming up. All the music will be in there. The Sweet 16's in there, so be sure and download that. We'll be back next Wednesday on January 22nd. We'll be talking to return guest Chris Alexander of Fangoria Magazine fame about his work with Gene and horror movies and all that great stuff, very much related to Kiss. And with that, it's going to be time for us to head into our final music segment, so stay tuned for that. We got about 15 more minutes of music. We're going to kick it off with some more stuff from Jim's new record, and this is the point where, Jim, I'll say 3, 2, 1, and we'll all say peace. 3, 2, 1, peace.
Peace.